When you travel, you are trying to get somewhere. And of course, we, being a very compulsive and purposive culture, are busy getting everywhere faster and faster and faster, and you eliminate the journey. And so, in this way, the human being sometimes becomes an organism for self-frustration. And so you go round and round and round, ever chasing the illusion that there is something outside yourself, outside your here and now, to be attained that will make things better. And in this state of maximum frustration, there is an opportunity to understand the situation. You see, if all the life is an act of faith, but the moment you take a step, you do so on an act of faith because you don't really know that the floor is not going to give under your feet. The moment you take a journey, the moment you enter into any kind of human undertaking and relationship, giving yourself up, surrender, total abandonment. I give myself. Take me. Do anything you like with me.
Well, welcome back to Are We There Yet? It is summertime, and it's that season when we have a tendency to take trips, and having raised three children, this was the most oft-repeated phrase on vacations, and virtually everywhere we went, it wasn't the kids, it was me most of the time that was asking it, because it can get difficult. I love the first few words of that video that says that when we are going someplace, we're on a journey, we have a tendency to want to get wherever we can get fast. And the reality is that as we step into lives of faith, for you to discover your divine destiny, to become who God has uniquely wired and designed you to become, for Him to do in you everything that He had in mind, when He allowed some things to happen to you and gifted you in the way that He gifted you, we're going to have to be able to sustain and be faithful to finishing the journey. And sometimes that's just tough. It seems like it can always take longer than we thought it should. It can cost more. But one of the things that we're going to say today several times is that as God has called you, He will be faithful. And there's nothing that can stop you from reaching the place He designed you to be, becoming who He designed you to be, experiencing what He designed you to experience, to answer the individual call that's on your life, whatever that might be. There's nothing that can stop you if you don't stop. This series, Are We There Yet? We're looking at 15 Psalms that were designed and written for the traveler, written for the Hebrews as they made their way to Jerusalem three times a year for the festivals where sometimes that journey was through difficult and dangerous territory. Sometimes it was from a greater distance than what would be considered easy by any stretch of the means. And these Psalms were written so that at moments when there was discouragement and doubt or weariness or maybe sometimes fear, a mom or a dad or a grandparent could whisper these words to a young person and say, it's going to be okay, we're going to make it. This morning, we look at a psalm that has to do with kind of getting through the land that you have to traverse if you're going to get where God wants you to be. And the danger is not so much from the outside today that we're going to talk about as it is from what happens when the outside influences the inside. How many of you know that on a journey, there are those who can be extremely encouraging, extremely helpful, sent by God at points, and then there's others that just don't really seem to want you to make it? Those who would discourage, those who would tempt you to give up and to settle. And today, we're going to talk about some of that. I was thinking about this, and I remembered my daughter is training for the Chicago Marathon, and I'm playing around with it at this point in time. But it reminded me of a few years ago, I ran the Chicago Marathon, and there were these signs that were put up. And most of the signs that were put up were cool stuff. They'd have people's names on them. You know, you can do this. You can conquer. But I went online and found a few that I remembered that weren't encouraging at all. If you know the history of the marathon, you know this to be true. Here's another one. It sure seemed like a good idea 4 months ago. That would be my sign right now. Then there is this one. The voice in your head that says you can do this is a liar. That's just helpful, isn't it? Right there along the way. And then worst parade ever was one that I saw. I like this one. I find your lack of training disturbing. And run like Steve Harvey's going to give your medal to Miss Columbia. And if you don't know that story, ask someone and they can fill you in. One of my favorites that I couldn't find online was a sign I remember that said, Chicago Marathon, one winner, 49,999 losers. Not helpful. Well, this is a psalm that's designed to keep you focused when you can have a tendency to get distracted. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. Just think about that and allow those pictures to settle in about the surety and security that is promised and talked about there. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. As things are, they won't always be. Things aren't right today. Things aren't just today, is what this is saying. But be careful and allow God to be God. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. That's an interesting conclusion to the psalm. It not only gives us this incredible encouragement about being like a mountain and not being shaken, and the Lord surrounding us, but it also says be careful, because the land that you're going through can tempt you to pick up the attitudes and actions, and we'll talk about that. Let's start with the first part of this, which is the surety and security that we have in God. The greatest yes ever spoken is a yes we give to the invitation of Jesus to come follow. That's it. There's no yes in our life that even comes close, because when we say yes, when we answer his call, and we couldn't answer anything, we couldn't follow anything if he wasn't drawing us, but when we say yes to Jesus, there's no greater yes that we give in our life. That yes means that our past is going to be redeemed by him. He's going to use everything that happened back there, everything that was hurtful, even the sins that we committed, he will redeem all of that somehow in some way. And we no longer have to carry it. It means that our present, he's in. We talk a lot about, C1, about how every Sunday's Easter, we believe he's here and he is not silent. He's going to nudge. He's going to speak. Jesus is in the present. It's not like we're going to experience our day and then go report him. No. He's here right now, and he's going to nudge and whisper to some of you even this morning. The greatest yes we ever give is to invite him into that moment, never alone. And our future is in his hands. What greater yes could ever be given than the yes to this invitation to come follow Jesus? So those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The greatest yes. Don't be talked out of that. Recognize that when we set out to follow Jesus, that he has promised that he will lead and he will guide and he will never forsake. Philippians, the Apostle Paul references it this way. He says, I thank my God, as he's writing to his friends at this town of Philippi, every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He says, I pray with joy for you. And it's not that I pray with joy for you just because of our friendship. I don't pray just because of what I've seen in you that are the positive things, but I pray with joy because I know who you're following. And those things that he's promised, he's going to deliver on. You're going to get to see all of the things that the Bible promises as you follow Jesus. From the Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Apostle Paul, with these powerful words from Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him generously give us all things? And who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? What a powerful, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. Because but for the grace of God, the charges line up. But for the grace of God, but for the fact that Jesus paid it all, the atoning sacrifice, our past would follow us. But this, Paul says, listen, you are free. I love the words of that song. I'm not a prisoner anymore. It is God who justifies. Who then is who condemns? Is the one who condemns. No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest yes we ever give is that yes to follow Jesus. The greatest decision we ever make is just to say yes to God and allow him to move. The Psalm 37 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord's uphold him with his hand. It's the greatest yes ever. And whether you're watching online on the live stream right now or you're in this house, I want you to know that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if you haven't done that, you can do that right here and right now. And if you have done that, don't be talked out of anything else, for the Lord's surrounds you, your past, your present, your future. He's got this and he knows what you're going through. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Can you hear those words during a storm, maybe on the trip, when a child is afraid? Or maybe there are rumors of bandits or enemies that are in the land as the Hebrews are making their way. And a wife reminds her husband, or a husband reminds his wife, or a grandparent reminds a grandchild. No, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Now here's the thing. This psalm takes an interesting turn. Because there's another truth that's expressed. What cannot be taken from us, the enemy will try to get us to willingly surrender. Your faith, your hope cannot be stolen from you. But the same free will that allows us to say yes to Jesus, we can be talked out of and settle. That's the danger represented in this psalm. It says, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. In other words, there's injustice going on, and this isn't fair. And at some point in time, God's people can be tempted to take matters into their own hands. I say this every few weeks or months, I suppose. But if you don't remember anything else from my time here, I hope that someone remembers this. Let God write the ending to your story. Let God write the ending. The temptation is that there are those who will turn to crooked ways and end up in this passage of scripture that says the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. In other words, it's like, stop. Don't panic. Be careful. If we are not careful, this psalm is a reminder, both of our security in Christ, but also it's a reminder that we can pick up the attitudes and actions of the land we travel through. Counterpunching is a wonderful technique in boxing or in martial arts or perhaps even in physical self-defense. It is an extraordinary political tool. that can be used. But that's an example of something that believers need to think long and hard about. Because we can get into reactive mode, and our culture is so much a reactive culture that if we're not careful, we will pick up things as attitudes and actions through the land, and we will begin to do those things that are taking the issues into our own hands instead of allowing God to be God. I was thinking of how to illustrate this, and this is just the best one I found. I'm not claiming that it is very much fun to listen to, but this is what I think. Beware spiritual ticks, and I'm not talking about facial movements now. I'm talking about those things that will embed themselves in us as we walk through the land, and if we're not careful, we'll end up sucking the life right out of us. I'm talking about these guys. I hate ticks. I don't care about PETA. If I could destroy every tick on the planet today, I would do it. Nobody thought that was funny. I think that's funny. People at home are roaring right now. We have two big dogs, and part of what you have to do is, you know, your dogs are out, and you just have to run, because these little critters will spread disease. They will do all kinds of things, and they have to be removed. And here's the thing: dogs aren't misbehaving. It's not like they're going places they shouldn't go. They just attach. I learned about ticks that ticks are everywhere. You think that they have a tendency to be just in places in wooded areas or play? No, they're in the mountains, in the valleys. They're at the beach. They're in urban culture, and once in a while, because we're human, we can carry them into church. Just stuff that happens, it gets under our skin. Things that aren't right. And you don't have to go do something wrong for it to happen. These things just attach themselves to us. And what is maybe even righteous anger over something can turn to rage and revenge, because if God's not going to do something about this, right? Fear, which is natural, can turn to doubt and disillusionment and disobedience, disillusionment, discouragement, distraction. Passion can turn to pride when everybody doesn't get as excited as we are. You know, why don't more people care? That can turn to pride, arrogance, and pride always leads to ignorance, always. Regret can turn to shame and denial as these things get under our skin and stay. And we have to deal. That's what this psalm is for. This psalm is a reminder, be careful. Be careful. I'm going to give you a tool that I learned last week. I was with Pastor Rob last week, and it's a setup for the tool here. This is a sermon he preached. This is from his Facebook, from Facebook Live. I would encourage you to go on Rob Lee Evans, our pastor in Austin. His message last week is on his Facebook page, and everybody ought to hear this message. He's talking, the theme of his message was that hurt people, but ultimately wind up hurting themselves. And if there's something that gets inside of you that doesn't belong there because of the land you're just traveling through, inevitably, if you don't deal with it, it can destroy you. He told the story last week of King David, and this is 2 Samuel 13. King David, his daughter Tamar, his son Amnon, and Absalom. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm just encouraging you to go there. But essentially what happens is this. Amnon, his son, rapes Tamar, his daughter. It's a brutal story. It's the kind of story you read in Scripture and go, that did not just happen. That shouldn't have happened. And why was it preserved for us, this moment of incredible darkness? As a result of that, Tamar's brother Absalom is furious, as he should be, because this was wrong. This was awful. And he's angry. He's filled with rage. But he expects his father, the king, to do something, and the king doesn't. And Absalom's fury contends until he is determined to get revenge. And David is watching Absalom because he knows the hatred that he has. And so he tries to keep him away from Amnon. He just wants to preserve his family. Or maybe the reason David didn't judge Amnon was because he had his own list of infractions, right? It's amazing what sin does, but he didn't do anything. But Absalom is patient. He waits 2 years. Then he says to his father, hey, we're going to go do some sheep shearing. There's going to be this thing. Would you send the brothers with us? And let's just all go do this together. David is suspicious, but he says yes. And when they are alone with the brothers and with the servants, Absalom says to his servants, the minute Amnon gets drunk, kill him. And he does. At that point in time, Absalom goes on the run. He is hiding from David, and David is furious. It takes 3 years for David to come to a place where he just wants Absalom to come home. And Absalom, having been on the run, comes home. Now, the story could end there. Absalom got his pound of flesh. He tried to avenge his sister. His father has forgiven him and paid his own penalty. But there's something about these things that can get under our skin and take life in our heart that are never satisfied. And so it is with Absalom. Even after 5 years, he's still angry. And he begins a rebellion against his father, the king, and tries to overthrow the king and ends up in ruin. Those of you who know the story know that he was running and he was trapped by a tree, and ultimately David's soldiers put him to death. What began as anger and rage ends in ruin. Why? Because something got in there. If we're not careful, there's things that will happen in our families that for generation after generation will continue. And some of us are awkward when we're together with other family members because of something that may have happened a long time ago. And Pastor Rob points to a remedy. There has to be a remedy. We can't pick up the attitudes and actions of the land. Our reactions should be different. The way that we respond should, we are followers of Jesus. Those who put their trust in the Lord, like Mount Zion, we can't get in that mode or we risk ruin. So here's the tool that I want to give you. It's an on-purpose shift in thinking. We talk about it in leadership at C1. Dr. Crawford Howe taught me this a long, long time ago. I taught it to my kids. It's become a thing in the family. It's a conscious shift when you realize that what's going on is causing you to think and feel and act in ways that are not part of your journey. That's not who you are. And if we recognize it, we can shift. And the shift is into what we call 3P. There were times when my mentor, I was in charge of something and there was maybe confusion or difficulty going on. And over the years, Crawford would send me a note that was just 3P, send it to the podium. And it'd be like, hey, just settle down, stop, don't get caught up. The first P stands for peace. It stands for knowing who and whose you are. When the fur starts flying, when difficulties come, when chaos takes over, and you're going to experience, some of you will have it in the workplace this week, or maybe there's a situation at home, or maybe those of you are young people who have friends, you're going to be with friends and something's going to happen and all this is going to come in. Know who and whose you are. As a follower of Jesus, you have put your trust in the Lord. No one else can define you. You know who and whose you are. You know who it is that surrounds you. And so you don't have to be baited into a situation where your reactions and your responses begin to resemble the world around you. You don't have to do that. Step and shift into peace. God's got this. Secondly, poise. Respond instead of react. We live in a reactive culture. We live in a counter-punching culture. We always want to be just ahead. We always have to make our point. We always have to go, but, because we're going to correct somebody's thinking. I tell you, one of the greatest days of my life was the day that I discovered, and I forget it occasionally, but I go back to it. One of the greatest things I ever discovered was I don't have to say everything I'm thinking. It's true. You don't have to. You are fully able to close your mouth. And it keeps us from responding. You know what happens when we respond, especially as believers, or when we react? When we react as believers, we end up doing something that causes us to have to apologize. Even though we may be right about the argument, the tone, the mannerism, what we projected was wrong. And I don't know about you, but I get really tired of apologizing to people who are wrong. Because they never go, oh no, I was wrong. They always go, well, okay. And I want to go, hey, I'm sorry for the way. Listen, we can't do that because there's people, there's somebody at a checkout, there's a checker, there's a waitress who's going to get one interaction with you, maybe in their lifetime. One chance for you to be Jesus in a critical moment of their life. Poise. Jesus remained silent before his accusers. Peace. Know who and whose you are. Just shift into that gear. Poise. I do not have to react. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds me right now. He's got this. And power. Those first two give you power. They do. They create a situation, a circumstance where you're able to get control over yourself. But the great power comes from God is sovereign and God is good. And no one can stop you from getting where God's called you to go. You're going to think they can. You're going to think this didn't come through. This didn't happen. They didn't recognize this. Listen, no. God is sovereign and God is good. Peace, poise, and power. The Apostle Paul in Philippians says, for as I often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. We really are just passing through this land. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And I long for that day. But until then, peace, poise, and power. Just a little tool that has helped me over the years to step back when I was getting sucked in. So, on the journey this week, remember that the greatest yes you've ever given was the yes to the invitation of Jesus to come follow. At that point, everything between where you are and where he wants to take you, both in this life and eternity, is yours. Nothing can stop you. But also remember along the way that this psalm reminds us that what can't be taken from us, the enemy would love for us to willingly lay down. And if we're not careful, we will pick up the attitudes and actions of the land we travel through. So this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit over the next few moments. I want Austin to come out. Over these next few moments, here's what I want to do. Whether you're at home or whether you're here, I want you to pray this prayer. Search me. Know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in life in the way everlasting. One of my assignments with our two dogs is that as I'm petting them, Lindy said, you always got to be looking. Just wait, you're just checking. I hate it, but it's part of my job. That's what I want God to do with me. Is there anything, Lord, that I picked up? Maybe an attitude or a response. Sometimes we think our passive-aggressive stuff is funny. And there is no Christian passive-aggressive humor. There just isn't. It's not cute. It's not funny. It's rude. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help us because sometimes, I remember one time I was on the platform at another church, and it was back in the early days of technology, and we were trying to do stuff, and we would practice it before the service, and we were trying to do videos, or I don't remember what it was, and we practiced it, and it failed. And I just stepped back, and there was a failure with regard to a microphone too or something. I looked at the sound booth, and it was just like, you know. And I'll never forget, after the service, a guy come up, and he said, hey, Pastor, he's a friend of mine. He goes, I was thinking about volunteer to work in sound and audio visual till I saw the way you looked at that guy in the middle of the service. Right? I'm just asking the Lord. Because, folks, you're the church. I mean, you're it. The interactions that you have are that important. And the journey that you're on is that important. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these moments. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you and you alone provide. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us on the journey. And thank you for this reminder that we have to be careful, or we can, on a journey following you, pick up the attitudes and actions, get distracted, and step out of the way and the will that you've called us. So, Lord, today examine our hearts. Bring healing, bring hope. I ask, Lord, that you would restore where somebody's hurting right now. Maybe they're sitting at home watching us online or here, and there's something that's got up under their skin and they can't seem to get free. In the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray for a breakthrough even today. Give them freedom. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. God bless.